Begin the current daf, Masechta Shkalim daf tes. Begin 4 lines down from the top of the Yamid. The Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, which was talking about the shear of Revius, that is one of Haitzah, that is of the Dalat Kaisis that we drink by the Seder night. And because Shal Bracha has to have a Revius of a leg, that means a quarter of a leg. Now the Gemara continues that discussion and says, Kamahu shear Shal Kais. Now how much is that measurement in area if one were to measure a cup with his fingers? How much would he know is a cup that contains a revius? So that Rabbi Yisi b'shem Rabbi Yisi ben Pazi, Rabbi Yisi b'Abivi b'shem b'shmol. They say it's etzba'ayim al etzba'ayim. It's 2 fingers width by 2 fingers width. Al roim etzba umechza b'shlesh etzba, with a height of a finger and a half and a third of an etzba. That's the area with the finger breadths that will tell us what is the shear of a cup that contains a revius. And that's important to know for all the different halachas of Kreshel Bracha, Dalat Kaisis, and Haitzah. So Tani, we learn in the Braisa, along these lines of the halachas that we had mentioned on the previous daf, regarding the shear of Revius, that we said it's the shear for Haitzah. So we said that if someone's taking out undiluted wine, we said he doesn't have to actually take out a Revius of wine, which is the shear of when it is diluted, which is how they used to drink it, which means say they would have Chai, Yain Chai, which would mean raw, undiluted wine. Then they would mix it with a ratio of 3 parts of water to 1 to wine. Then it would make it a shear of a revius. So if you're taking it already diluted, so then you would take out a revius. However, we said that if you're taking out raw, undiluted wine, then you only have to take out a quarter of a revius, because that's already considered chashiv, because then that's when it's going to be mixed with the water. It's going to be the shear of a kais shel bracha. So related to this, we learned in the Braisa that yavish, when it's dry, meaning when it's the wine becomes a solid, that becomes congealed, then kizayis, then for the shear of haitzah to estimate it, when it's considered chashiv, we estimate it as the size of an olive. And that's because a liquid of a revius, when it congeals, it turns into the size of a kizayis. And that is, when we talk about it, something as a solid, we need it to be a complete revius. Not as we said regarding the undiluted wine, that it can be even a quarter of revius. And the reason is because you can't be meizig, you can't dilute a solid. And therefore, it has to be the shear of what a revius would be, not a quarter of a revius, which is in the shear of a kizayis, the Reb Nosson. Those are the words of Reb Nosson. Now, the Gemara explains, Rabbanan de Kisari, Reb Yisi Barbibi B'Shem Shmuel, they say that Asid Reb Nosson, it comes out that this halacha of Reb Nosson is Kreb Shimon, and others have the gears of that of the Vilna Gaon is Kreb Yisi Reb Yehuda. And that is Kemad Reb Shimon Amin Revius, or as Reb Yisi Reb Yehuda says, regarding the halacha of revius, which is a brisa that's brought in Bavli and Masechta Shabbos, the Reb Nosson and Reb Yehuda, they say the same halacha, which is that it's taught over there regarding the dam of an avela, the blood from a dead carcass. There, it's brought down that Beishame says that the blood's going to be tahar, because we don't say that the blood of the animal is like the flesh, which that it would convey tumah as an avela does in the shir of a kizayis, and it does not have the status of mashkin, of liquid, of beverage either. Therefore, it's tahar. Basil said that it's tame. Now that Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda said that even this that Basil said that it's going to be tame, they only said it's going to be tame if the blood has a shear of a revius. Why is that? Because the revius, when it congeals and it turns into a solid, then it's going to be a kazayis, which is the shear of that a nevela of a carcass has to be to convey tumah to a person. And that's what the Gemara is saying, that they're saying the same halacha. Because Kenam Reb Nosson Revius, that's exactly what Reb Nosson said regarding the Revius, like Sheikrish Behebe Kazayis, that when it congeals, it's going to be Kazayis. There's 2 halachas that they're saying the same thing. You have a liquid that's Revius, when it congeals, what's the shear going to be? It's going to be a Kazayis in the form of a solid. Now that has ramifications in 2 areas, and they're both saying the same thing. One is regarding the halachas of Nevela. That is, although we're saying, even if you were going to say that the dam of Nevela will convey Tumah, it's only going to be if it's a size. If the liquid is a revius, because then it's going to be kazayis, which the shear in the veil has to convey tumah. And then it's regarding what Reb Nosson said, regarding the shear of haitzah, is that it has to be the size of revius. Now, undiluted wine can be even a quarter of revius, because it's chashiv that you could dilute it and mix it with water, then it's going to be the shear of revius. But a solid cannot be mixed with water, hence it has to be the revius. What is a shear of revius? That is, when it's congealed, is the size of a kazayis, and therefore they're saying the same halacha that a revius of liquid, when the kajils turns into kazayis. Similarly, Reb Simon B'Shem Reb Shuma Levi says that Maisa B'Predas Rebbe Shemesa. There was a story with the mule of Rebbe that died. The tiara was dama Meshum Nevela, and they said that the blood of the nevela of the carcass was tahar. Now, they just said it plain. They didn't say if there was only if the blood was up until the revias, or even more than the revias. V'shol Reb Elazar Reb Simon. And then Reb Elazar asked Reb Simon, ad kama, how much of the blood of the mule of Rebbe's household that they said it's tahar, did they say? Did they say that it's because it was less than revias, or even more than revias? V'lashkech be, he paid no attention to him. He didn't answer him his question. V'shol Reb Shimon Levi, and he asked Reb Shimon Levi, v'amalei, and he said to him, ad revias tahar. This that they said that it's tahar was only because up until revias. Yes, revias tame, but more than revias is tame. That's exactly what Rabbi Yehuda said. And that's because there was no revias. In the middle, they said that the blood's going to be tar. But if it's more than revias, which then if it congeals, it's going to be the size of a kezias. Oh, nevela, the size of a kezias, will convey and transmit tuma. And that's because the truth is that it would convey tuma, but it just has to be the size of a revias. And the Gemara comments and says, Vash lebrelaza adlechaza le'rib simen shemasa. Reb Elazar was very upset why it was that Reb Simon didn't answer him for his question, which was a very legitimate question, as we see that it wasn't that really was tar legamri. It wasn't totally tar. It was only because less than revias, but more than revias, it would be tamei. So he was upset why he didn't respond to him. So it says there, Reb Bibi Haba Yosef, similar type of an episode, that Reb Bibi was sitting, and Masni Hadein over there, he was saying over this story, and which was the same story, but he said that they were metar the dam of the mule of Rabbi's household that had died, just like Reb Simon had said over this story. So Amalei Reb Yitzchak Bar Bisna, so he asked him the same type of question. Ad revias tahar, was it only because it was up to revias, that's why it was tahar, but yesem account tamei, but more than that, it would be tamei. He was asking him that halacha, the same halacha question that was posed in the previous episode. And it says, uvod be, which literally means he kicked him, means he pushed him away, he didn't want to answer him, he didn't act with him honorably to respond to his question. So Reb Zirka said to him, begin the shalach, because he asked you a legitimate question to respond to mahalacha at boit bay. That's why you're kicking, you're pushing him away. What do you mean? It's a very legitimate question. So he said to him, begin the lehav his daiti be. It was only because my mind wasn't settled. It's bitten the bay. That's why I pushed him away. The Amr Rav Chan, like Rav Chan said, and here he comes to explain why it was that he wasn't settled. But it wasn't because he didn't hold that he deserved to be answered respectfully. Because it says a pasuk in Devarim, "V'hoyuchayecha teluyim l'chominek." It says that your life will be hanging opposite you. Now, what does that mean? That's shezeshlekei achitim l'shana. That it refers to somebody that will buy wheat for the whole year. And what that means is that he doesn't have any ground to fulfill the pasuk of that it should be emes me'eretz tatzmiach, that the earth will be truthful in sprouting with sprouting what he will plant. He won't have in the pasuk tzedek mishamayim nishkaf. He won't have that through the rain that the heavens will pour down on him, because this person doesn't have ground. He doesn't have earth, so he has to purchase wheat for the entire year. But the next year, he doesn't know with what he's going to have wheat, and therefore, it's some type of your life is hanging in the balance. You don't have the land to work yourself. Then the pasuk continues even worse. Ufechadu to laila b'yoyimim. That you're going to be in dread night and day. That's someone, zehalikeach min hasidki. That refers to someone that purchases from the sidki, and that is he purchases a little bit from the retailer, from the one that's selling the produce, and he's afraid that maybe when he's going to go, it's going to be sold out. And also with the price changes, maybe the price is going to go up. Every day is different. Therefore, night and day, he's afraid that maybe he's not going to have the regular meals that he's used to, that morning and night. And that's why he's in pachad, he's in a state of fear. And then the worst of them all is v'leitamin b'chayecha. You're not going to believe in your own life. Zalekech minapalta. That refers to someone that buys from the baker. In other words, he doesn't even buy the grain itself. So not only doesn't he buy for the year and doesn't he buy for the next day, he buys every day from the bakery. And sometimes they're not going to have any bread for him when he wants it. So that's, you're not going to believe in your life. And he says, "Vano smichna apalta." I'm the worst of all the three categories. I buy from the baker, and therefore my mind wasn't settled. So it's not because I didn't respect him or I didn't feel it was a legitimate question. It's just I just pushed him away because I was my mind wasn't settled. Nothing more concludes. Umahu kadon. So what is the conclusion? What is the halacha? If it's more than the revias, the dam of nevela, will it be tamei like Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda said, or Reb Shimon? Or would we say that even more than revias of dam, it's still going to be tahar, which were the questions that were being posed on this story, as we find by the mule of the house of Rebbe. So the Gemara says, "Hey, Rebbe Shub and Pesayra al dam nevelu shutar." Shub and Pesayra said testimony regarding the blood of the carcass that it's tahar. which sounds like it's totally tar, even though it's more than revius. So therefore you see a conclusion to this question, that it's tar, no matter what. Another Gemara says, no. Mahu tar, what does it mean, Rabbi Shubim says that the blood of the veil is tar, it's pure? It means tar milahakshah. It's pure from making other things susceptible to tumah, which means to say that it does not have a status of mashka, of beverage, which is that a solid could only become vulnerable to tumah if it comes in contact with one of the seven liquids. That was saying that the dam of nevela does not have the status of dam, which is one of the seven liquids, and therefore it will not make a solid susceptible avala tamas metam, but for it itself to convey and transmit tumah. Then if it is more than revius, which is then, like we said, that when it would congeal, it's going to be the shear of the veil of kezais, then it would convey tumah. Therefore, there's no raya from Bishubim Besaira. And that the Gemara asks on this. So what do you want to say? You want to say, to explain to Bishubim Besaira, that the dam and the veil, it's not going to make things susceptible to tumah. It's not going to be machshir. However, it will transmit tumah. However, taman taninan, we learned over there in the Mishnah machshir in Perek Vav, that says, Dam ha-sheretz kibsari. The blood of a sheretz, of one of the vermin of these small bugs, their blood has the same status as their flesh, which is, mitame ve'ena machsha, that it conveys, it transmits tuma. However, the blood does not make other items susceptible to tuma. And the Mishnah comments, ve'en lo nekayetzabai, we don't have anything just like this, which is mashma, that generally we would say, that if it's not machsha, which is what we're saying, the blood here by the dam nevela is not machshir. That if it's not machshir, other things that it will not convey tumah. Here we're saying this is an exception in the kiyetzabai, that although it does not machshir, it is transmitting tumah. So if from the fact that we're saying that generally, if it's not machshir, it's not going to be mitame, which sounds like totally it's going to be tar, even if it would be more than the revius. So how can you say that to explain Rabbi Shubim Mesera, that yes, it's not going to, the dam nevela is not going to be machshir, but it's going to convey tumah if we see clearly that the only one that's like that is dam asheretz. But things like dam nevela, since it's not machshir, as we're explaining that he says tar mi tar mal hachshir, so it's definitely not going to convey tumah either. And that the Gemara answers that no, when we're saying ein lo nekayetzabai, it means kishir tumasai. We don't have anything else like the blood of a sheretz where it conveys tumah the size of an adasha, of a lentil, just like the meat of the sheretz conveys tumah in the sheir of adasha. That's in contrast to the blood of a nevela, which is not like the basar of nevela in the kezias. Rather, there has to be the sheir of a revius. However, aval damai metamei kibsari, that the shin is taken out, but the halach is that the blood will convey tumah like its meat, and that is at least the size of revius. It will convey tumah, even though it's not machshir. So although it sounds like that, if it's not machshir, it will not convey tumah. No, it means it's not. There's nothing like sheretz that will be the same as its basar, which is even the sheir of adasha. Wow. Whereas by dam nevela, yes, it will convey tumah even though it's not machshir, but it won't be in the size of a kezias as its flesh. But rather, it will have to be the size of revius, as we explained before. So there's no raya from Shubim Besair. However, the Gemara concludes, Rabbi Yisi pligaba trein amirayin. This is a machlekes between two amirayin. One says that more than revius it will be tame, and one says more than revius it will still be tahar. And the Gemara explains, the one that says it's tame, Rabbi Yehuda. That's like Rabbi Yehuda. And that Rabbi Yehuda is quoted in the beginning of the fifth parak of Masechtas Idyas, that he says that the dam of Nevelam, Bishul says that that's tame. And that's like we had quoted before from Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, that that's dafka by revius, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Menachas on daf kof gimel. However, the one that says it's always going to be tar, even more than revius, is Kribishua ben Besaira, which he holds that it's tar totally, even more than revius. As the Gemara says in Babli over there, that Rehud ben Besaira said that the oily regalim, Kribishua ben Besaira said that the oily regalim would go up until their knees in the blood of Nevelis, and no one said anything, and therefore we see that it obviously does not transmit tumah, even more than revius, so therefore it comes out that it is Hazim al-Achlaikist Amiram. Amalei Rav Av Duma Debin Nechusa, he said to Rabbi Yisi, he says, V'yaz, what you said now, that the one that's saying that's Tameh is like Rabbi Yehuda, is correct. And the reason why I'll prove to you is Rabbi Yehuda Moryana Debin Nesiyahava. Rabbi Yehuda was the Paisik of the household of the Nasi, of Rabbi. And we had that story with Pirdas of the household of the Rabbi, of the mule, and he paskined the way his opinion was, that it was only because the blood was less than revius, and that's why it was tar. But if it was more than revius, he would have said it's tame. That's exactly like we said, that the one that says it's Tamei, at least when it's the size, a Revius, as we explained, the name of Revius Yehuda, or the other gears of Reb Shimon, that is the same opinion, as we said, of Reb Yehuda. Now, the Gemara continues, quoting from our Mishnah on the previous staff, that said that the one that's doing the Truma of the Lishka, that's when they have all the coins that were collected in the beginning of the year, and the three times during the year they would do the Truma Salishka, they would take off into three boxes and then buy the Kabbanos from those boxes, we said that he's not allowed to go in with all these different things, with cuffs and things, because we don't want people to suspect him that maybe he stole from the Truma Salishka. And that is Shemiyani, B'yomru, B'chulu, because if he's going to come poor, they're going to say, oh, he became poor as a punishment because he stole from the Truma Salishka. Or he becomes wealthy, he can say, oh, because he stole. So similarly, we said, Tanu Rabbi Yishmal, Kavutz, and there's two Girsais, either Kavutz the way we have it in our Gemara, which means somebody with long hair, or the Rambam's Girsa is with a vase, Kavutz, which literally means a gatherer, but it's a reference to a poor person that desires money and he'll do anything to get another coin. La Yitrim, he's not allowed to do the Trumas, he's not allowed to take off the Trumas Alishka, B'mnei Hachshad, because of suspicion, with long hair, because he might be concealing it in his hair, or this poor person, because people are going to suspect that he's someone that desires money and will steal. Tani, we learned, similarly on these halachas, Hakizbaran hoyi mefasvesin bekilkin, that the ones, the attendants in the Beis HaMikdash, they would comb his woolen garments, and they would separate the strands the person should not be suspected that he concealed it in between the strands of his garment. Tani, we learned, medabrin hayimoy, they would be speaking with him, the one that was doing the truma, the separation, mishashahu nichnas achashu yaitzi, the entire time, from when he came in until when he left. And the reason for that was that he shouldn't be concealing anything in his mouth, and since he's talking, he's not going to be able to put anything in. And that the Gemara asks, v'yimali pumimai, what do we let him just fill up his mouth with water? And for that reason alone, he won't be able to hide anything in there. Why do you have to be talking with him the whole time? On that, I remember Tanchuma, Mneha Bracha. You can't do that because of the Bracha that he has to make on the Hafrasha of the Truma. He has to make a Bracha. And when he has liquids in his mouth, he can't make the Bracha. And you also can't move it to the other side when there's liquids, a solid maybe, and most definitely when the whole entire mouth is filled up. And that's why they have to do the talking with him and not filling his mouth with water. Now, the source for this halacha, that we do all these things, we pull through the strands of his garment, he can't wear any cuffs, he can't wear tefillin, he can't do any of these things because we don't want people to suspect him. The Gemara brings the sources for this from Tanakh, where we know that we should do things to avoid suspicion. Shmuel ben Nachum b'shem Yehudas, and he says, "B'Torah uv'neviim uv'ksuvim mitzanu." We find in Chumash, we find in the prophets, we find in the writings, this idea, she'adam tzarech latzis idei habris, a person has to fulfill his obligation in regards to people, k'derech shu tzarech latzis idei hamakim, just like he has to be clean and innocent in the eyes of God, so he has to be in the eyes of people. But Torah minayin, where do we know in the Torah? Like it says in Pasuk Memidbar, v'yisim nikim Hashem Yisrael, you should be innocent in front of Hashem and from the Jewish people. B'nevim minayin, where do we know in Nevim? Like it says in Pasuk in Yeshua, it says, Kel Elikim Hashem Begayma, that Hashem is the God, the Yisrael Hu Yeda, and the Jewish people they know, which means to say that just like for Hashem, so too for the Jewish people. And Bechsum, now what do you know by Bechsum? Bechsum, like it says, the Pasuk in Mishle, Umitzah Chain Vesechel Tev, you should find favor and good understanding, Be'ene Elikim Va'adam, in the eyes of God and the eyes of people. So the Gemara says, Gamliel Zuga, Shalur B'Yisib Rebbein, he said, Ezra Machuvah Shabakum, which one is the clearest one of them all? In other words, which one is the most explicit to command a person to be innocent in the eyes of other people? And therefore we do all these different things to avoid suspicion, just like we have to have Bidei Shemayim. So Malehi responded to him, the best one is the one from Chumash, which says, V'yisim nekim Hashem Yisrael, that you should be innocent from Hashem and from the Jewish people. And again, that's why we do all these different things to avoid suspicion. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, Halacha Gimel, which continues on this theme about Trumas Alishka, how they would do the separation, again, from the big Lishka, from the box, where they had all the new coins. Three times a year, they would go ahead and separate and put into these three boxes. On that, the Mishnah continues, says, Shall base Rebbe Gamliel, that from the household of Rebbe Gamliel, they wanted that their coins should get in there, because there's this big box, not everything gets into the boxes, which were then used from those boxes to buy the karbanos, because there was so many coins, it would be what's called shiyare halishka. There would be leftovers in lishka, and then there would be shiyare trumas halishka. There would be leftovers in the actual spoonful that was taken off into the boxes. However, the house really wanted that when the truma was taken off, when they're scooping out, their money should get in there, that the karbanah should be bought from their money. And therefore, so the one that was coming from the house of the Rebbe that was bringing their coins, he entered, and he would have his coin between his fingers. Vizarka, he would throw it into the lishka, which was the big area where all the coins were, lefnei ha'tayrim, in front of the one that was doing the separation at the time when they were separating. V'ha'tayrim miskaven v'dachvay, and the one that was doing the separating, that was taking off for the trumas, he intended and he pushed from the lishka l'techa kupa into the box of the three soin that they would take the trumas into, and he made sure that he would get that coin of the house of Gamliel into the box where the kabanas were being bought from. Now, ena term tarim, the one that did the truma would not do the separation atru oimlem until he would tell the chacham around him, etrim, should I do the truma? The hinamle and bezn would tell him, try him, shalosh pam. They would tell him three times, separate. And that's the way the chacham always do it, as we find many times when they would do it for the oimer, and they would tell him three times to do this thing. Now, tar meser ishayna, that he would do the first separation from the lishka, then v'chibe b'kativ l'ayis, then he would cover the coins with a leather covering, and that is the rest of the coins that are in the lishka, he would cover it, and then afterwards they would bring coins. The new coins would go on top of this leather covering. Hashnia, then he would do the second one, v'chibe b'kativ l'ayis, and then again they would cover it with these leather coverings. Hashlishis loy mechapa. However, regarding the third time, and as we said, there's three times during the year when we do the Trumas HaLishka. We have Preis Pesach, we have Preis Atzeres, we have Preis Chag. There's these different times when we do the separations of the coins. Now, after the first separation, he would cover it with these leather covering. Then there would be more coins coming in because not everyone got in on time. Then they would do the second one from that, and the leftovers they would cover with another leather covering. After the third time, then they wouldn't cover it anymore. Now that the Mishnah asks, why did they go ahead and cover it after the first, let's say after the one by Preis Pesach, which is 15 days before Pesach, and then after the second time, which is 15 days before Shavuos, why did they cover it? On that the Mishnah tells us, Shema Yishkach V'Yitrim in Adavar Hatarm, because maybe the one who's doing the Truma will forget, and they'll take the Truma Salishka from those things which already had Truma taken off from them. And therefore, when it's covered, so then those leftovers, which are covered now, they become what's called shirayim, the leftovers. And now he's only going to take the truma from what's on top of the leather covering. Now, it's only by the third time that it didn't have to be covered, because there you anyways take from those coins until it's finished, and then you go back to the second one and the first one, because those are the rest that go for the end of the year until you have the new coins. And once you have the new coins, then you're not going to be taking from these coins anyway. So therefore, that was the cheshbon, how it was done, that one time, there's the three times throughout the year, that after the first time, what's taken off is taken off. You cover now those coins already, what's called shirayim, they're leftovers. You're not going to take from those coins now. Then the new coins that come in are going to be for the second time, which is at a later point by Shavuos. And then those coins are covered. And then the new coins come in, and then they take from that by Sukkot time, and then those are the ones that you take till the end of the year. When you finish those, then you go back to the others, and back to the others. Now, the Mishnah continues and says, Tar Meser Yishayinu L'Shem Eretz Yisrael. The first Truma, which again was by Pesach time, that was done for the people in Eretz Yisrael, because the first coins that came, which they're the closest, would be coming from Eretz Yisrael, and therefore those coins you would take off for those people of Eretz Yisrael. V'Hashniyah L'Shem Kracham HaMakafim, the second Truma of the year, would be taken off for the cities around Eretz Yisrael, which are close by, which they would be, the second coins would be primarily from them. Vashlishis l'shem Bavel u'l'shem Madai, and the third one would be for further places like Bavel and Madai u'l'shem, and we continue on Tamid Beis of Medinas Rechikas, for the faraway places which they weren't able to bring until when the third time would be taken, and therefore we had those intentions. But however, the Gemara will clarify and say that, and truthfully, everybody is included in those karbanas because everyone's supposed to have a chelik in that. It just means primarily those were the coins from whose they were taken, so it means the first ones from Eretz Yisrael, later on from further, and then later on from the further ones. Now Mishnah, we said that Shabbos of Gamliel v'chulu, the house of Gamliel, that what they would do is they would wait till the Trumas HaLishka was being done. He would flip his coin in as he was about to scoop it, so his coin would get into the scoop, and the karbanos would be bought with his coins. And that the Gemara asks, Ilu hayu shnei kiraim, if there would be two piles, the tarami echad men al chaveri, and then there was Truma taken from one on the other pile. Shemale Patach Averi, would that what's being taken as Truma not go ahead and exempt the rest, which would mean even the second pile that is having Truma taken off of it? So, and therefore, basically what the question is, why did the household of Gamliel make sure that their money would get into the box if the Truma is on everything? And therefore, everything is included in being joined by the Truma that's taken off to buy the Karbanos from it, even the coins that are not taken. And therefore, why did they have to go ahead and do this? And I think Gemara says, you're right, they didn't really have to do this. But Hanachas Ruach Ilehem, it was a satisfying, pleasing to them, Shleihei Karban, Miskarv, Eishem Lehem Techila, that the Karbanos should be bought from them, from their monies first. It's some type of like a Zrizus of the mitzvah. It's like diligence, that you want to make sure that it should come from yours and that it shouldn't be from the Shirayim, from the leftovers, although really, essentially, in Halacha, they're all considered the same. But they wanted that Nachas Ruach, that the Karbanos should be bought from them. So Tani, we learned, Shamar Esak Katev Liyois, if these leather covers that we said were covering from one Truma to the next Truma, again, those are different time periods, when they were three times during the year, that each period was taken from those coins, not from those which were already had a Truma taken off from them. And the way they avoided that was by covering with these leather covers. If the leather cover slipped off, Nasa Kulim Shirayim, and then everything gets mixed together, they all become Shirayim, they all get mixed in with the leftovers, and therefore they're all going to be puzzled from taking off the Truma from them because it cannot be from leftovers, they're going to have to go ahead and get new coins. So Tani, we learned that Shlishas Hi Haisa Ashir Shabakulan, the third time, the third Truma, the one by Sukkot's time, was the wealthiest of them all. And that is because Shahayiba Isteroyah Shal Zahav, there were these golden Isteroyahs, Vidarkoinah Shal Zahav, and there were golden Darkoinahs. And the reason is because these were sent from very far away. And as we had already explained in the beginning of the second parak, that they couldn't carry all the Shkolim, so they would go ahead and exchange it into these higher, these more expensive coins, which were these Darkoinahs made out of gold. So therefore, it was more expensive coins that were being done. So it was the wealthiest of all the three Trumas that were done during the year. So now that we're looking at the Braisa, which clarifies what we had said in the Mishnah, Tarmes Rishayna, when they did the first Truma again, which was Pesach time, they would do it L'shem Eretz Yisrael, because we said those are the ones that really they're getting the coins from, because they're the closest. Ooh, L'shem Kol Yisrael, it also had in mind for the entire Jewish people. It just means primarily it was from Eretz Yisrael, but everyone is included. Similarly, Shnia, the second time, was L'shem Karachim HaMakafim, Ooh, L'shem Kol Yisrael, it was for the cities around, and for the entire Jewish people. V'hashlishis, and the third time, was L'shem Bavel L'Madai, Ooh, L'shem Adin Yisrael Chagis, it was for Bavel and Madai, and for all the faraway countries, Ooh, L'shem Kol Yisrael, and similarly, it was for everybody, so really, everyone was included. It just means, primarily, those were where the coins are coming from. So Tani will learn the Braisa. Natal Min HaRishayna. If he takes from the first one, that is, there are three boxes that we explain when you do the Trumas HaLishka. And that's, as we had explained before, that each one had an Aleph, the other one had a Beis, and the third one had a Gimel. Now, if they took from the first box, it would be these three boxes filled up, every time would be three boxes, and there's three times during the year. That's why I said there's going to be a total of 27, because each box is three Sa, times three of every time is nine, and times three times in the year is 27. And what we had been talking about at the Kativ Lois is there's three boxes every time, then those leftovers are covered with the Kativ Lois, and then you have the second time with the next three boxes, and the third time with the next three boxes. So let's say regarding the first time. If someone took from the first box, let's say the one that had the Aleph, and that's because the mitzvah to take from the first one, that's the first one you take from. However, what the Bryce is coming to tell us right now is that you shouldn't totally finish off the first box. And the reason is, because there's a halacha that you have to take from all three of the boxes. And that's because, as the Gemara says later, from the words V'hamanu aleinu losis shlish ha-shekel, that from the smacht, from the pasuk, that it has to be from all three boxes. Now, if you would take empty all the coins that you had put into the, let's say, the first box, then maybe by the time it comes Shavuos time, which is the second time they do the Trumas HaLishka in the year, then maybe they didn't get a chance yet to use the third box. And therefore, what the Brayis is saying is, Nutal Man Rishayna. You first take from the first box, that's the first one. But however, Afa Pishayesh B'Rishayna, even though that there's still coins left in the first box, Nutal Man Rishayna, you can move on to the second box. Nutal Man Rishayna, if you took from the second box, then Afa Pishayesh B'Rishayna, even though there's still coins in the second box, Nutal Man Rishayna, you have to make sure you get to the third box from Pesach till Shavuos, because then you're going to do the next Trumas HaLishka. Now, Shlomo Shlishis, if then the third box of the three son was completed, then Chazal Shnei, then you go back to the second box. Shlomo Shnei, if the second box is completed, then Chazal Rishon, then you go back to the first box. Shlomo Shlashtan, if all three boxes were completed, let's say it's the beginning of the year, it's Pesach time, that's the first Truma that they did, now the next one's going to be Shavuos. They quickly used up all the three boxes. On that, we have a Machlekes. Chayzer v'sheikel. That is, the Tanna Kamma says, what you have to do is, you have to go back and take new shkalim. And that is, with, let's say there were a lot of kabbanas, and they used up all the three boxes before the second time of the year. You don't go ahead and you take from the leftovers, because they don't have a halacha as shkalim. They have a halacha of shirayim, of leftovers, which are pasul, as we mentioned before, from using to purchase the kabbanas from. So you have all the coins that were in here. Now, we didn't go ahead and create yet these we don't have yet, if let's say we have the Katav Lois, which is covered, and then the new coins come, so then you can take from the new coins. But you can't go back to the leftovers of what you had taken from the first Trumas Alishka, because they're leftovers. So if you used up these three boxes, you got to take from new coins. He says, you don't have to take from, let's say, what's on top of the Katav Lois or get new coins. You could go back to the leftovers, because that's where I took this Trumas Alishka for the first time from Pesach to Shavuos. I could go back to those leftovers. Because as Ramei would say, there is a halacha of mi'ila, of misappropriating, even from the leftovers. Hence, what he means to say is that it has the same halacha status as the shkalim, which has that kedusha. And the reason is, shemi yitzarklem b'saif, because maybe you're going to need them at the end, because you might use it up. And therefore, we say that it does have the same kedusha, and hence you could go back to the shirayim. You don't have to go ahead and take from the new coins, which are supposed to be for the time of after Shavuos. Now, v'chein, the Gemara continues and says, and so too, and that is because since we had mentioned these two beautiful midas of zrizis, which is that we find by the house of the Rebbe Gamliel, that they had this diligence that they wanted to be first and make sure their coins got in for the karbanos to be bought from them. We also found a subsequent midah of nikiyas, of being innocent and clean in the eyes of other people, just like we have to be in the eyes of heaven. So because we mentioned these two midas, the Gemara continues and mentions all the midas of Reb Pinchas ben Yair, which this statement of Reb Pinchas ben Yair is the foundation and the whole entire structure of the famous Sefer Mesilas Yesharim. So the Gemara says, V'chein is so too, how Reb Pinchas ben Yair Emer. He said regarding these midas, that zrizis, diligence, and zrizis is the opposite of atzlus, of laziness. And by someone grabbing onto this midah of zrizis, that's mevia l'dei nikiyas. That brings to cleanliness. And that's similar to what we had said before, that a person has to be naki, has to be innocent in the eyes of other people. That is, when they see that he's a zariz, that he's diligent in what he's doing, he's making sure it's complete, they're not going to suspect him. And therefore, the zrizis will bring to nikiyas. And so too, in the eyes of heaven, when the person is zariz, he has alacrity and he's diligent in his mitzvah, so that mitzvah cleans him from the flies of death. And so too it says that a Talmud Chacham that does an Aveira, he definitely did tshuva right away. And that's because through his rizis, that he's quick, he wants to make sure to do things as diligent as possible, it makes sure that he becomes naki, he becomes clean from sin. Now the continuation of that is, nikiyas, so once a person has the midah of cleanliness, mevila de tahara, it brings him to purity, and that is on multiple levels. One is the tara of a person's body for tefillah, for immersing in the mikvah. So the prerequisite for that is nikiyas, that a person has to be clean from any dirt, that there should be no chatzitza, any interposition on his body, because without that, there's not going to be any tahara. But it's also regarding the cleanliness of a person's body from the dust of sin. That if he's coming to be mitahar, to purify his soul, his soul will not be pure until it has a clean vessel. Like it says, nefesh naki v'tzadik, that the soul of the righteous, the body has to be clean, which means safe from sin, and then the soul will have a tahara. Then continuing, is tahara mevil de kedusha. Purity brings to holiness. And that is just like we find regarding the eating of karbanas and chulin that were made with a high level of taharas hakodesh, or to come into any holy area, it all happens if a person is tahar. Because anyone that comes into the Azar has to have a tevila. So tahara brings to kedusha. Similarly, and also on this same concept, is as the Gemara says in Masechtas Brachas Nafcha Beis, that there was a great gedder they made, that if someone has a seminal omission that he has to immerse himself in the mikveh, which, as we'll see, that tahara of having to immerse in the mikveh brings to kedusha, to holiness, which holiness always conveys a prisha from arayas, from separation from immorality, as the Gemara there in Brachas brings the story with someone that proposed to a zayna to commit a sin, and she said, "What do you mean? Do you have 40 saw, which is a reference to mikveh, to immerse yourself in?" And therefore he separated. So that's the same idea that the tahara brings to kedusha. Then the Pinchas ben Yair continues and he says, "Kedusha mevila de'anava." Holiness brings to humility. And that's because by a person going and making him sanctifying himself, making himself holy in the holy paths, like those that stand in front of Hashem always, so then he understands the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and how awesome he is. And he becomes so humble and low down from the fact that he's not able to serve Hashem how he has to be from the great Melech Malchim Lachem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, Kedusha brings to humility. Then Anava, humility, in other words, through his humility that he feels himself so small comparison to the awesomeness of God, Mevila de Yerushet, that brings to the fear of sin. And that is because he's afraid, someone like me, in front of such a holy and awesome being, that I'm afraid, like he realizes what his sin can do, and who is he to do that? As it says regarding David, the king of the Jewish people, that because he was such a great humble person, as the pasuk says, "Vanichi terlas v'leish," I'm a worm. I'm not even a person. Therefore, he's the one that said, "Eshmer darche mechatoy." I'm going to watch my ways from sinning, because who am I to sin in front of such a great and awesome being? Then continues, "Yirischet mevil de chasidus." The fear of sin brings to piety, and that's because chasidus is a great level, which is what's called the lefnei mishuras hadin. You go beyond the letter of the law. And as it says in the Mishnah in Avos, that whoever's fear of sin comes before his wisdom, then his wisdom will last. So first comes Yiras Hachet, which is essentially Chachma, because that's the only way you have wisdom. Then it says, V'loyama Aretz Chasid. However, an ignoramus will not be a pious person. That means through the Yiras Chet, which is the storehouse for Chachma, then he'll come to Chasidus to do Lefnim Mishur Sadin. And also, because when a person is a Yirei Chet, another reason why it brings to Chasidus is because someone that fears sin, he's going to make what's called Gedarim. He's going to make fences. He's going to make boundaries that he doesn't go ahead and do sins, as the Gemara says regarding a Nazir, stay far away from the vineyard. Don't come close. And that essentially is Lefnim Mishur Sadin. And the Iker Chasidus is that a person should not be embarrassed from people when he's doing Mili D'Shamayim, when he's doing things for heaven. As the Gemara says in the beginning of Masechtas Brachos, that David HaMelech said, "Shamr nafshi ki chasid ani," protect my soul because I'm a chasid. Now, and that the Gemara explains, what does that mean? Because David said, am I not a chasid? I'm not embarrassed when people say, look what he's doing, and we're kings and we're such noble people, and he's doing things that they don't pass for a king. It doesn't make a difference, Hashem. I'm not embarrassed when I'm doing your service. And therefore, chasidus, this piety, when someone reaches this great madrega to do whatever he has to, and whatever he could attain, and the rest he leaves for Hashem to help him, that is the reason why Mevil de Ruch HaKadosh. That brings to the divine Holy Spirit, because then when the person does everything he could, and it goes beyond the letter of the law, then the divine spirit comes and Ruch HaKadosh rests in him, as the Gemara says in Yerushalmi at the end of Masechta Sukkah. Now why is it called Simchas Beis HaShe'eva? Because, as it says, Shehayu Shoyav in Ruch HaKadosh, they withdraw the divine spirit. And there it says that there were chasidim and anshi maisa. And what does that mean? Because chasidim means that since they're rejoicing, that's what simchas beis hasheiva, since they're rejoicing in their actions, that's why it's beis hasheiva, that's why they draw the shechina, because the shechina only rests on someone that's besimcha, as it says regarding David, and that's why chasidis brings to Ruach HaKadosh. And Ruach HaKadosh mevil de tchiz ha-meisim, the divine spirit brings to the resurrection of the dead. And that is because these spirits, these people's ruchais, have purified themselves, and they had the great ruach, the great ruach hakodesh and tahara that rests on these people, these tzaddikim from up above, from Shemayim. Therefore, that awakens the ruchais of even the dead, and it gives life in them, as the Gemara later quotes the pasuk of Nesate Rucha Bechem Chiyisim, that as the Gemara says in Masechtas Psachim in the sixth parak, that tzaddikim will ultimately resurrect the dead, and that's because of the great ruach that's coming to them will spread to even the dead people. And finally, Tchis HaMesim, Mevil de Eliyahu Zachlatayv. The resurrection of the dead brings to the coming of Eliyahu HaNavi, who is remembered for the good, and that's because before the last resurrection of all the dead people, Eliyahu HaNavi will come and tell us the good news. So therefore, Tchis HaMesim requires that it's going to bring Eliyahu HaNavi too. So now the sources for this linear description that Reb Pinchas Ben Yair gave, the Gemara brings the sources and Pesukim that proves this hierarchy. So the Gemara says, Zerizis Mevil Dei Nekiyas. The first one was that diligence brings to cleanliness. The Chesed like says a pasuk in Vayikra. It says regarding the avodah of the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippurim. So it says v'chilu mechaper, and if he'll finish doing the atonement. However, since these words are near each other in the pasuk, so the Gemara in Zvachim darshins im kila, if he finished, then keep it. Then that's when the atonement is. He has to finish the avodah. Similarly, here the Gemara is darshining that v'chilu, which means to say that he'll be diligent, he'll finish what he has to do. Then mechaper. Then he will create an atonement, which means to say that there will be cleanliness. Because as elsewhere the Gemara says a terminology of l'chfuri yodi b'hu gavri, he wanted to wipe his hand in the other person, meaning to clean himself off on the other person. So therefore the word kapara means to clean off. And therefore we see that zrizis kilo creates kapara. In other words, it creates a cleanliness from sin. The next one was nekiyas mevil de tahara, that cleanliness brings to purity. The chesed, like it says a pasuk in Mayikra 2 regarding a yiledes, a woman that had given birth, and then she brings her kabanas in the Beis HaMikdash, she says, v'chipar aleha kain, that the kain has atoned for her, v'tahera, and then she becomes pure. So we see that nikias, that she has what, as we said, keeper means a cleanliness, that when she has cleanliness, then she then later attains tahara. Tahara mevil de kedusha, and purity brings to holiness. The chesed, like it says in the pasuk regarding the Mizbeach Hazav, the golden altar, on Yom Kippurim, it says, v'tiharoi, that he'll make it pure, and the kitcha, and he'll make it holy. So therefore we see that purity brings to holiness. Kedusha, then holiness, mevil de anava, brings to humility. The Chesed, like it says, the pasuk in Yeshaya, says, ki koyam aram anisa, because this is what the high and exalted one, Hashem, says, Sheikh and Ad, who lives forever, v'kadosh shemayin, his name is holy. He says, morim v'kadosh eshkan, that I will rest up above and holy. In other words, when a person recognizes the holiness of Hashem, the Estaka, the Shvel Ruach, and the low down and the trotter one, the low of spirit, then it means a person will come to humility, to shiftless, if he recognizes how holy Hashem is. And therefore, as we said, Kedusha brings to Anava, brings to humility. Anava mevil de yirischet. Humility then brings to the fear of sin. The Chesed, like it says in Pasuk in Mishlei, Ekev Anava, the result of humility, is yiris Hashem, is the fear of Hashem. Then yirischet mevil de chasidus, the fear of sin brings to piety. The Chesed, like it says, the pasuk in Tehillim, says v'chesed Hashem, and that the kindness, which is also conveys, it's the same concept of going beyond what one is, which is what lefnim meshuras hadin, which is what chasidus is. The chesed of Hashem is me'olam v'ad olam al yirev, is forever on those who fear Him. So we see that those who fear Him, they have yirischet, they come to chasidus. Chasidus mevil de ruach hakodesh. Then chasidus brings to the divine spirit. The Chesed, like it says, a pasuk in Tehillim, "Oz dibarta bechazoyin lechasidecha." Then you spoke in a vision to your pious ones. That we see that chasidim get chazoyin, get a vision, get ruach hakodesh. Then ruach hakodesh mevil de tchis amesim. The Holy Spirit brings to the resurrection of the dead. The Chesed, like it says, a pasuk in Yecheskel, "V'nesati ruchi bechem." Hashem says, "I will put my spirit in you," which is the ruach hakodesh. "V'chisim." And then you'll bring them alive. So we see that Ruach HaKodesh brings to Tchias HaMesim. And finally, Tchias HaMesim Mevil De Eliyahu Zachal HaTayb. The resurrection of the dead brings to the coming of Eliyahu HaNavi, who is remembered for good. Like says the Pasuk Malachi, Hinei Anichi Sholeich Lechem Es Eliyahu HaNavi. Behold, I will send to you Eliyahu HaNavi. Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem HaGadol V'Anor. Before the coming of Hashem, the great and awesome. And that is because after the resurrection comes the great and holy day of judgment. And now before that great day, it says that he's going to send Eliyahu HaNavi, Leheshev Lev Avos Al Banim, and therefore, Tchis HaMesim requires that not only is it going to be the resurrection, that Eliyahu HaNavi is also going to come. Now the Gemara ends off this parak by saying, Tanim B'Shem Reb Meir, Kol Mi Shekavua Be'eretz Yisrael, a few different things to make the complete person. Similar to what Reb Pinchas Ben Yair was talking about, the complete person, as we said, Mesillas Yeshayahu is based on that. So, Reb Meir talks about the four components of a person. So, whoever is established in Eretz Yisrael, which that is the complete rectification of a person's body, which is there's the four different yisoides that there are. There's earth, water, fire, wind. Now, there's regarding a person's body is made out of offer, out of earth, as it says, ki offer atik, because you're earth. Now, that's tied to the settlement in the holy land of Eretz Yisrael, which is surrounded with the kedusha of the Eretz at all times. And as the Gemara says, that whoever walks 4 amas in Eretz Yisrael, he's zeichet to olam haba, and all his sins are forgiven. As it says, ha'am ha'yesh b'la'a is nisu oven, as the Gemara says at the end of Masechta Ketubos. So if someone is established in the land of Eretz Yisrael. And second, umadabu lashna kodesh, he speaks the holy tongue, the Hebrew language, which that's a completion of the person's spirit. That from a person's ruach is where the foundation of speech comes from, and lashna kodesh is the panemius has a kedusha inside of it, so he has both the body, he has the ruach, and third of all, v'oichel peresa b'tahara, he eats his produce in purity, which that relates to the nefesh hatzemachas, which is the animalistic soul that's in every body, and the fourth one. He recites the Krishma in the morning and at night, which that is relates to the tikkun of a person's neshama, his soul, which is from the source of the Torah, as the Gemara says elsewhere, that whoever reads Krishma in the morning and at night, he fulfills the chiv of Agisa, but Yoim Balali fulfills his chiv of Talmud Torah in the morning and at night. And also because Krishma gives over and it unifies a person's soul to have mysterious nefesh for Hashem, and therefore it's misakin him in his Kabbalah of Omach Shamayim. Therefore, with these four things, a person has rectified the four parts of a person, which are his body, and what's known in Kabbalah as Niran, which is Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama, which correlates to the four levels that there are in the world of Daimim, those things that are like rocks, Tzemeach, things that sprout, Chai, things that are animalistic, things that have, like we said, the Nefesh HaTzemachas, which correlates to eating as produce and Tahara, that's of eating, and Medaber, that of the level of a human. And therefore, the Gemara concludes, whoever has these four things, Yemevusur Sheben Olam Habahu, he will be notified, he will be told that he is a Ben Olam Habahu, he is someone from the world to come, that is by making himself the complete person that he's supposed to be. What is Olam Habahu? Because Olam Habahu is when the person is the complete person that he was supposed to be. That's what it means a person works through in this world in Olam Hazeh, becomes the complete person. He experiences everything he's supposed to experience with totality, on all the four levels of who he is. Then the person becomes a ben olam haba. Hanulach perek b'shleisha prakim. We shall return to you the third perek in Masechta Shkalim. Perek b'shleisha prakim. Now we begin the fourth perek in Masechta Shkalim. Perek hatruma. So the mission begins. Hatruma, which refers to whatever they had taken off from the lishka. This was done 3 times in the year. The trumas halishka. So they got the new shkalim. Everyone came. They made the announcements. They brought it to the lishka. Then they went ahead and 3 times during the year. Let's say we're talking about the first time of by Pesach time. They go ahead and they take it off into 3 different boxes. Each box is 3 saw. So now you have a total of 9 saw. Now, what with this, that now they finally have this in these boxes, it's a ma'ahir ha'yoysa. But what do they do with this? With the shkalim that they collected and now they have it where they need it. So leikhinba, they would purchase with it the following items. Temidin, those karbanas that were brought every single day in the morning and in the evening. Umisafin, these were the added karbanas and Shabbos and Yom Tovim. Viniskeim, and their libations that are poured with them. Ha'omer, which were the first barley offerings, which were brought on the second day of Pesach, which the halechem, and these are the 2 breads that were brought up, the first offerings of the wheat on Shavuos, lechem apanim, these are the showbreads that are brought every Shabbos, the 12 breads on the shulchan. V'chol karbanos ha'tzibur, and all the karbanos of the tzibur were bought with these funds. Now, moreover, the Mishnah tells us that shomei svichin b'shvias, those that would watch the svichin and the shmiti, and that is svichin are those growths that come out by themselves that were left over from what was reaped before the Shemitah year. Now they would pay watchmen to watch that the animals should not walk there and trample in it and ruin it, because they needed growths, they needed some type of wheat and barley for the Karban Omer and the Shtei HaLechem, which can only come from the new, which in the Shemitah year there's nothing new because no one planted, so whatever aftergrowth there is, they needed it because it has to be from the new and from Eretz Yisrael. Now, so since it was for necessity of the karbanos, which are for the Omer and the Shtei HaLechem, so it had the status as the karbanos itself. And therefore, for those who watched that, Neitlan Schar and Tumas Alishka, they would take their pay for watching it from the Tumas Alishka, because it was also included in that category of the karbanos. However, Rabbi Yosi said that Afarites, even someone that wanted, Misnadim Shemachinim, he could donate his services to watch for free. without getting paid. Now, although now, that means the one who's watching it for free is not getting paid by Hector. He's going to acquire it from Hefker, because it's not that he's getting paid to watch it for you. It's his own, because he's a Shem Echinim. So, therefore, how are you going to bring a carbon sibber from this if it's his own thing? That, Rabbi Yossi holds, is not a problem, because a carbon yachid, which means, say, something that a person individually owns, could change over to the hands of the tzibur, and he could give it over to the tzibur and say, look, I'm watching it for free. I know it's mine because I was kind from Hefker, but I can give it to you. I don't want to get paid for it. I can give it over to you, and there's no problem. However, Amruloi, they said to Rabbi Yossi, but af ato Omer, you also say, she'ein boin ela, we continue on top of Yerim and Aleph, mishal tzibur, but you yourself agree that the karbonis of the Omer, the halachim, which is what these aftergrowths are being used for, can only come from the public funds, because it has to be from the tzibur, not from this individual. And essentially what they were telling him is that in such a case when he's watching for free, and he's zeichen, that he acquires it, it comes out that it's not coming from the tzibur, because those who argue in Rabbi Yossi, they hold that a karbon yachid, if it's an individual that owns it, cannot be transferred to that of the tzibur. And they weren't really arguing, they were just stating their own opinion. They were saying, look, we disagree with you. We hold that it cannot come from a karbon yachid and then transfer up to the karbon tzibur. And they said that you cannot watch it as a Shem Echinim. You have to get paid so that you're not acquiring it because you're watching for other people and the Tzibur is acquiring it and not the Yachid.